Love is not something that is a sort of rare commodity. Everybody has it. Existence is love.
You are one with the divine principle. You have the energy.
You are the Big Bang, the original force of the universe, coming on as whoever you are. See, when I meet you, I see not just what you define yourself as, Mr. So-and-so, Miss So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so. I see every one of you as the primordial energy of the universe coming on at me in this particular way.
Money is a circulation of information, and in itself has no value.
Everybody is fundamentally the ultimate reality, not God in a politically kingly sense, but God in the sense of being the self, the deep down basic whatever there is, and you're all that.
Stop measuring days by degree of productivity and start experiencing them by degree of presence.
When I first started this journey and started seeing life in a wider lens, the people around me didn't understand. And I mean, that's a given. But not only was I starting to feel alone, but I was starting to feel crazy. I was like, okay, why is no one else seeing this? Why does no one understand? And I know that if you're listening to this podcast, at one point in this journey, you have also felt this way. A couple of weeks ago, I tweeted something that I think could be very beneficial for all of you. And I have to remind myself of this when I feel triggered, because I still do feel triggered sometimes when people call me crazy or I'm out of my mind. But I tweeted, "People will only understand at the level of consciousness that they're at." And before I dive into that, welcome back to Figuring Shit Out with your girl, Kelsey. Okay, so first of all, I want to say that the evolution of consciousness does not equate to the acquisition of knowledge. You can gain all the knowledge you want, but if there is no equal evolution of intellect and wisdom, then there is no evolution of consciousness. Another factor is the evolution of ego, not precisely dissolving it, but integrating it with your essence. Knowing that it is okay to dismantle old beliefs and patterns. So, going back to feeling triggered. Growing up, I was always called the weird one. I wore whatever the hell I wanted. I was into strange things. While other girls were into dolls, I was into ghost hunting and UFOs. I like to see life through the lens of my inner child sometimes, because she was so carefree up until the bullying started and the indoctrination of the society. I was so carefree up until there was a wound, and that is the wound that gets triggered every time someone says I'm crazy. There was a point where it was hard to make friends because people thought I was weird. I was really weird. I think if you've come from my Question Everything podcast, I talked about this also in my past life reading episode where I talked about how I never felt like I belonged here. So I was really into strange things. And I even have pictures in my YouTube video if you want to check that out. Anyways, I also grew up in the dance world, which if you're a dancer, you'll understand what I mean. Girls are not the nicest and there's constant comparison. But anyway, another huge factor was that I looked up to my brother. He's 27. He's 3 years older than me. And I do talk about him a lot on my podcast, I know. But just like how your parents can give you wounds, your siblings can too. So for this to all make sense and for me to get to the point, I have to go back. So ever since I can remember, I wanted to be just like my brother. I did everything he did. He was into cars, I was into cars. He liked playing Xbox, I liked playing Xbox. He played baseball, I played baseball. Even though my parents tried to get me into softball, I was like, no, I want to do baseball, and I did baseball. He was literally my idol, and I don't think he even knows it. Anyway, some of the girls at my dance studio obviously had a crush on him, and some would even talk to him. So he would tell them how weird I am, and then they would come to dance the next day and tell me, wow, your brother says you're so weird. And obviously, as an 8-year-old, 7-year-old trying to make friends, you don't want to hear that. So there were so many little incidents like that. Also, because we lived in a small town growing up, everyone knew everyone, so I was known as Kevin's weird little sister. But anyway, that is a wound that to this day I'm still trying to heal. And it doesn't help that he is so close-minded still and he still gives me crap for everything that I do. But I feel that because I have carried on with what I think is my mission to help others and help others spiritually awaken and all that, I feel like I have healed a part of it. So going back to the level of consciousness, understanding, once I started learning more about healing and the evolution, it all made sense. My brother and I are polar opposites. Like I said, he's vaccinated, he believes in the government and politics and anything to do with the supernatural, he immediately shuts down and he denies it. I tried to make him listen to my old podcast, even when because he helped me move across the country. So I was in a car with him for 3 days. I tried to play one of my episodes and he was like, "This is so stupid. There's no scientific evidence, blah, 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 blah." So yeah, needless to say, he's always been this type of way. He has always been the type to not change his opinion or open his mind to other possibilities, even when half my family is like psychic and into tarot and into spirituality. Well, mostly the girls, he still denies it. So the other half of the tweet was, "It's like trying to teach an indoor cat to perceive an outside world." And my brother is the indoor cat. And I think most people who are closed-minded or refuse to look into anything of this matter hold a little fear. And that's okay. I mean, now I understand not everyone is going to perceive the way I see the world. The indoor cat sees only the four walls that it's put into. And maybe even a car's wall to go to the vet. But they aren't aware that there's a whole ocean. They aren't aware that there's mountains and forests. The other day before I went to sleep, I had this analogy in my head pop up. So I want to share it with you guys. I was like, oh my God, this will be great for the podcast. I also like storytelling, so like I created this whole analogy. Okay, so there's three cats. One cat is an indoor cat. The other cat goes outside, but only to the patio. And the last one roams around. So I'd say it's an outside cat. So one day, the one that roams around, the outside cat, comes back and tells the patio cat that there is so much to see and that he saw a river and flowers and all these people. The patio cat looked at him like, "Man, you're crazy. That only exists in fairy tales. I know I told you to watch these conspiracy theory videos, but I didn't think you'd take them literally." The other cat goes, "It's not a conspiracy theory, it's real. All you have to do is believe me or take the leap and come with me." Then the patio cat goes, "I'm good. I'm still trying to convince the indoor cat about how flowers exist. Plus, everything I need is here." So the outside cat goes inside and tells the indoor cat. The indoor cat goes, "You and patio cat are absolutely crazy. Patio cat is always telling me there's flowers and bugs, but I told him he needs to stop watching so many conspiracy theories." The outside cat goes, "Patio cat has a point though, and I've seen it. Not only that, but there is so much more than just the patio. Today I saw a river and other cats, and one of the cats told me that there's a whole body of water out there." And the indoor cat goes, "A river? Whole body of water? Man, you have really lost your mind. You and the patio cat need some serious help." The outside cat stays calm and says, "Why don't you come with me and I'll show you?" The indoor cat stood there in disbelief. "Do you think I'm stupid? My humans have told me how dangerous it is out there. Plus, I have everything I need here. I get fed and I get cuddles, and I have 900 square feet of room to run around." The outside cat sits there a little bummed. "Yes, but out in the river you can catch your own food." The indoor cat looks at him in disgust. "I'm fine, I told you I get fed here." And the outdoor cat just goes, "Fine, stay where you're comfortable." So yes, like I said, I definitely made this story up in my head. And yes, I love cats. But it makes sense, right? I told you guys that there's different levels to this, different stages. The indoor cat is obviously is in the 3D. The patio cat is in 4D. And the outdoor cat goes between 3D and 5D. And I think most of us are an outdoor cat, trying to convince the indoor cats that there's a world out there. But I think the indoor cats, aka the people who are closed-minded, are going to do whatever they want to stay in their comfort zones. Of course, we can go deeper than just perceiving the outside, because the evolution does not come from seeing the truth externally, but doing the inner work and healing. Some may also call this inner standing rather than understanding. In this analogy, the outdoor cat didn't conform to his humans and always asked questions about the outside. He internally felt as if there was more than the four walls that he was put into. And although he held a little fear, he did the healing and the inner work. The patio cat, on the other hand, was in the same boat but blamed his humans for trapping him and still held a little fear. That's why he didn't want to go further than the patio. And the indoor cat, well, you know where I'm going with this. The indoor cat needs the humans to feed it. He's holding on to fear. He's complacent where he's at. And again, there's nothing wrong with either stage per se. It's just the individual cat's journey and what their souls chose to experience. Maybe the indoor cat has to reincarnate again to get over his fear in the next lifetime. Or maybe in the next lifetime, that's when he will become an outside cat and not depend externally on anyone. And in this lifetime, it's the outdoors cat last time incarnating. I think it's very important that we hold this perspective, especially if we're being attacked by someone who doesn't understand the way that we perceive the world. This person may also be a reflection of some sort of lesson that we need to learn. I take it as a lesson of control because we want people to see life the way we see it. Even if we have good intentions, just by us wanting to wake them up and see the bigger picture, it is still a form of control that we need to let go of. And instead, we need to plant seeds and let them come to us when they're ready. This will also eliminate the lower vibrational energy of arguing and seeing who is right and who is wrong. Because like I said in episode 1, we each have our own paths, and what is right to me might be wrong to you. The only whole truth that exists in this universe is your essence. The only reason I bring this up is because if you follow me on Twitter, I tweeted a TikTok video made by an old Disney star, and she was talking about how most of the entertainment industry does evil things, etc., etc. Kind of like what other stars have tried to do, like Kanye. I think B.O.B. tried to expose him, Isaac Cappy. There's been so many Hollywood stars that come out and say things like this, you know, we're all aware. And if you want to watch the video I'm talking about, it's on my Twitter and just click on my media. My Twitter is at Align Your Divine. So this video ended up blowing up and the comments that were said underneath honestly blew me away. Most people said, she's crazy, she's just another child actor who went off the rails, she needs help. They also said that I'm crazy, they call me a crazy Christian for believing it, which, one, I'm not even Christian, and I just found that to be really funny. In the video, she does use a lot of Christian language or symbolism or labels, I guess, talking about Satan and God, and she's now known on TikTok for turning to the church because of what she went through in Hollywood. And people think that she just went crazy and just became a Christian. And no one really takes into account what she's saying because of the words she's using. And I'm not judging her or saying she's wrong for anything that she's saying. Because if you've been with me since Question Everything, you know my views on religion and the church, and the one thing that I was hoping people would have gotten out of that video was that she talked about subliminal messages and everything that the entertainment industry does, and how we should be careful about that. The principle of her message is what I was trying to convey, but of course that flew over everyone's head, and all they got out of it was that she's a crazy Christian. And I was talking to my friend about this. I said, although she perceives it differently, I think there is a core truth to what she's saying. People get so tied up with labels and words that they're missing the bigger picture. The way I perceive the entertainment industry is that it is very low vibrational and obviously doesn't have the best intentions in mind for the collective. However, I've said this before, and I said this on my old podcast, I don't believe God is a man. Therefore, I don't believe that Satan is a man either. Like my good friend Nick Hinton calls it, Satan is an egregore. And for those of you who don't know what an egregore is a group thought form, and it can be created either intentionally or unintentionally, and becomes an autonomous entity with power to influence. A group with a common purpose, like a family, a club, political party, a church, or a country, can create an egregore for better or for worse, depending upon the type of thought that created it. So basically, the church has tricked billions of people into manifesting this low vibrational creature with red horns and a pitchfork. And this makes complete sense if you think back to how the church was created. I talked about this in my old podcast, to manipulate and control the masses. And we got to remember that everything is energy. And our thoughts with enough energy, aka emotion, aka in this case, fear, can manifest a whole ass being. So if you got billions of people believing what this church is telling them, then obviously that fear and that emotion is going to manifest an egregore and an actual being of the sorts. So going back to the way I see it, I do believe that there is a darker, lower vibrational energy in Hollywood. I'm not saying that there's not. But I wouldn't have used the same labels or language that she did. There were other people saying that she might have been saying these things for a different agenda to, again, manipulate us, which could be true. There's psyops everywhere. The only reason why I posted it and the importance that I got out of it was that she was in the industry. She experienced some shit. I don't know much about her other than her being on Disney Channel. Some say she ended up creating her own agency or getting away from Disney. But the fact that she was in it and is now trying to warn us about the subliminal messages says a lot. Because at the end of the day, we know that anything that is fed to us has some sort of subliminal messaging. And to me, that's common sense, but to most, that is new information. And she has a lot of younger audiences. So I was hoping that the younger audience would just be a little bit more careful with what they consume, you know? So that kind of gave me a little bit of hope that it would plant seeds in people's minds and hopefully they will start asking questions. Maybe it won't, but anyways, that's the whole reason why I brought the analogy up, because these indoor cats, let's call them that, have been so desensitized and so indoctrinated with what they've been fed that they see her as crazy, just how they see us as crazy. And we just got to remember that they're indoor cats and won't ever see the outside until they choose to step outside and know that they don't need anything outside of them or depend on anything outside of them, meaning they're humans or meaning the four walls, and once they let go of that fear. Anyways, that's not even what I wanted to talk about today. I just thought it would be beneficial to mention, especially when trying to figure out how to deal with people around you who are also indoor cats. And I'm honestly going to start calling people stuck in the matrix indoor cats. Anyways, what I did want to talk about today is twin flames and go more in depth with that, because I got some questions about it on my forum and from when I briefly talked about my experience a couple episodes ago, and I wanted to talk about it. I really like talking about the twin flame journey just because it was initially what threw me into a spiritual awakening, questioning a lot of things prior to me finding out the secrets of the government, but just about my life. So before I begin to explain my understanding of twin flames or twin souls and how to know if you're on a twin flame journey, please, please, please do your own research and use your own discernment. I am not an expert, and this is just what has helped me on my journey to better understand the way I feel things and the things I've gone through. So take what resonates, leave what doesn't. And if you have any other specific questions, I have been answering through email on the question form. So just shoot me a message and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. So, okay, where do I begin? As I mentioned in that episode, I had no idea what this term meant. I didn't even know it existed. It wasn't mainstream like it is now. It literally just came across my own spiritual path of trying to figure out what the fuck was going on with me. And first, I want to talk about soulmates and karmics, and then I'll talk about the twins. So, we all have soulmates. And soulmates might not even be romantic. They can be your best friend, your mom, your coworker, your cat. Soulmates are just people who you've had past lives with. And there isn't much karma, or maybe not even any karma, in the connection. They are souls that chose to reincarnate at the same time as you, so you can help each other on your path. With soulmates, there is an effortless connection and an understanding. It's easy. There may be lessons involved. There may be a little bit of karma, but they aren't as intense as a karmic or a twin. Karmics, or karmic soulmates, are souls that you've had a past life with, but there are many, many lessons to be learned. There is an intense connection, and they can almost become addicting. But with karmics, there is a lot of toxic cycles and pain. The growth will only come once one partner or both realize that they need to step out of this connection to grow and heal, and until then, these toxic cycles are going to continue. The difference between karmics and twins, because twins have some similarities, is that twins aren't abusive or as toxic. But with a karmic, you can feel as if you've known the person before. This is why it can be very detrimental to hang on to a karmic, thinking that it is a twin flame. There are subtle differences that I had to take into account when looking into this. So now, twin flames. So they're also called twin souls. And the reason they're called this is because they're both aspects of the same soul. People ask me if everyone has a twin flame. And some people might say no, but I believe we all do. The only difference is that I don't believe we all have a twin flame in this lifetime, meaning your twin may have not reincarnated with you, but is energetically with you. Another thing that throws me off now with the mainstream narrative of it is that people are searching for their twin. If you are on a twin flame journey, you won't have to search for it. It will happen for you when it's meant to. And quite honestly, I don't know why anyone would want to be in a twin flame connection, because this shit is not fun. And by the end of this, you'll understand why. Another misconception that I want to emphasize is that with any connection, soulmate, karmic, twin flame, you do not need them to be whole. The whole purpose of a twin flame, even though they are an aspect of you, even though they are a part of your soul, you do not need them in your life to feel complete. Because that is a very toxic and, I guess, problematic narrative that I see on TikTok a lot, or Twitter, because that is just putting dependency on the other person, when in fact a twin flame is supposed to teach you to be whole on your own. You know, it throws you into those lessons of self-love and self-worth, and I'll get into that. So like I said, twin flames and karmics have a lot of similarities, but aren't quite as intense, because karmics are separate souls, and like I said, twins are basically the same soul incarnated into two different bodies. They mirror you completely. So in my case, me and who I think is my twin met in 2018, and when I tell you that my soul instantly knew this person, it was as if I came home. Like, it was as if my soul said, oh, there you are. I had actually seen him around school before we actually met. I saw him first in 2016 in a crowded room. This sounds like a rom-com, but I'm being serious. Like, I saw him in a crowded room and he stood out to me. Like, he was the only one that stood out to me. I was an orientation leader at the time for incoming freshmen, and he was a freshman. So I saw him and I was like, oh. And it wasn't like I was like, oh, he's so hot. It was like, I don't know how, but I think I know him. Like, I think he was in my dream. So I have never actually told anyone this, but in high school, I had a dream about this guy who played hockey, and I've never seen him before. And I know we tend to dream about faces we've seen on the street, and sometimes our subconscious, like, just creates these people in our heads. But there was a significance with this dream, because at the time, I did have a crush on this guy in high school, and he could look kind of similar, but he didn't play hockey, and the dream was just, I thought it was about him, but I was like, it doesn't make sense. And I was telling my friend about this the next day, because it was such a vivid dream. And the fact that I still remembered it up until then, I was like, I don't know what this means. Because when I saw him, I was like, oh shit, that's the guy from my dream. Like, how the hell do I remember that? So, like I said, it didn't make sense until I locked eyes with him in 2016. And he was, in fact, part of the incoming freshman hockey team. The next time I saw him was at a party, but he was with a girl. But immediately when I walked in, I asked my friend who was on his team, I was like, who is that? And he was like, that's Brian. For the sake of privacy, I'm using a fake name. But anyway, he was like, that's Brian, but I wouldn't even try. That's his girlfriend from home. And I was kind of bummed, but I couldn't stop thinking about him. My roommate, also my best friend, heard me talk about him constantly. I didn't even know this guy, and I was just like, he's so cute, blah, blah, blah. And we even had a little nickname for him, Hockey Boy. So 2018 rolls around, and Hockey Boy came up on my Tinder. And once we matched, I immediately screamed and ran to my roommate's room. I was like, I matched with Hockey Boy. It's crazy how vivid I still remember these moments. But my roommate was like, no way, what about his girlfriend? And I was like, I don't know, they must have broken up. And so anyway, fast forward, I told you guys most of the story in the other episode, but I'm going more into little details here to give you a better perspective, I guess, and then I'll go into the signs of if you are currently going through the same thing or something similar. So fast forward to the day we met, and like I said, there's no other way to describe it other than it felt like coming home, and it felt so comfortable. I don't know how to explain it. Like, I really don't. Like, that feeling of just, wow, like, I'm home. From then on, we spent every waking moment together, and the synchronicities started. Like I mentioned in the other episode, I was spiritually aware at that point and became more aware of the synchronicities. And this is another twin flame sign. You endure your first big awakening with them. So we constantly saw 1111 together, 444, 1144, and it became almost like our little thing. Every time either one of us saw 1111, we'd screenshot it and send it to each other. And it was almost like a confirmation for us that we were on the right path. And I was the one who taught him more about angel numbers, because the biggest one I saw up until meeting him was 44. Ever since I was a kid, 4 was always my favorite number, and I saw it everywhere. And I told him that every time I saw it, something good happened. I didn't really know the full meaning of angel numbers, but it became very evident that I was seeing it for a reason. And just to top it off, his jersey number before coming to college was 44. And at this point, there were just so many crazy synchronicities and similarities between us. I mean, of course, twins will have a lot of similar values, interests, family dynamics, etc. We would watch Ghost Adventures together. Like, we had a lot of similarities. And I also talked about the electricity going in and out, and it got to the point where we both thought my apartment was haunted, or his. And I will mention, but I do not like to talk about it, but when we, you know, it was like an out-of-body experience, and there was this one time where, so I had Christmas lights hung up in my room, in my apartment, and the lights started flickering while we were, you know, but anyway, needless to say, the connection was very, very intense. However, like a karmic partner, the twin flame is here to teach us about ourselves. And I really think that the purpose of this connection is to wake us up and throw us into the path of self-growth, self-healing, and alignment for the greater good, for the collective. And they don't always end up together, which kind of sucks. But like I mentioned, we were never officially together, and that's a huge part of why I also felt crazy for feeling this way. And towards the end of our situationship, I guess you can call, the wounds started coming up and the mirroring began, which is a typical stage for the twin flame journey after the honeymoon stage. He started saying things like, I'm not ready for a relationship, and he was taking other people's opinions about us very seriously. And then my insecurity started coming up too. And I mean, this is what happens because twins are supposed to trigger everything we haven't faced. Another key sign is that the initial connection between you two, or the time that you are together, isn't very long. It doesn't last long. I was watching a video from this twin flame coach, and he talks about how his lasted like 5 weeks. And everyone in the comments was also saying the same thing. Like, it was just 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever. And I was like, holy shit, that explains so much, because we were only together, quote unquote, for about 2 months. And that is exactly why I started looking into this, because I was like, why the fuck can someone for only such a short period of time affect me this much? Am I going insane? What is going on? I really did start to feel crazy. And it didn't help that everyone around me was also like, Kels, get over it. You're crazy. So like I said, he ended up leaving me for someone else and I spiraled. I had never felt that much pain in my life. Like, I know I'm dramatic sometimes, but I'm serious. It felt like something stabbed me. I'd wake up with panic attacks. I missed weeks of work. It was absolutely insane. It didn't make any sense to me. I was 21 at the time and I had been in other situationships, and I say that because I've never been in a relationship where we were actually boyfriend and girlfriend. And so I've been in other similar connections that lasted even longer than this, and I have still never been hurt this bad before. I've had other guys leave me for other people, and I think the guy before him that I had a thing with left me for someone else as well, but it didn't faze me as bad. I was just like, oh, well, that sucks. Of course, I might have cried, but I'm trying to put this in the best way without making it sound like I'm a fucking psychopath, but it literally felt like I was stabbed, and it has never hurt that bad. So this part of the stage is called the runner-chaser dynamic, where one opts out and the other is left wondering and chasing after the other. And I mean, if you guys haven't noticed by now, I was the chaser, also known as the divine feminine, and he was a divine masculine, also known as the runner. It doesn't have to be gender specific because it's just energy, but the masculine energy is always the runner. And I've heard other twin flame stories of same sex couples or even the female being the divine masculine and being the runner. But anyway, this was our situation in this case. This is the point where I started really diving into my healing and my spirituality. Weeks after that, I also experienced a Kundalini awakening, or what I think it was. There was one night that I had a tarot reading from a family friend about this connection, and then that same night, I started to see geometric shapes everywhere. When I closed my eyes, when I opened them, they were on my wall, they were everywhere. I felt this intense energy rush up through my spine, like I was tingling and I was trembling. And then I started telepathically hearing voices and seeing figures of people in my room walking through walls. I believe my third eye was just like wide open. It was so intense, and I haven't felt or experienced anything like that since. But I do believe it was triggered by him. And from then on, I just was on this mission to figure out what the hell this connection was about. I think another big thing was how intensely connected I still felt to him, and still do to this day. I dream about him constantly. I feel his energy. And at the time, in 2018, I didn't know what this was. I was like, what the hell am I feeling? Like, why the hell am I feeling like this? If I haven't seen him in months, he has me blocked on everything. Like, I should be way past this by now. But no, the connection remained. Years passed. I have met new people, had other situationships, but he's still always in the back of my mind. Then last year, when I said in the other episode that he came back into my life and apologized and told me that he still thought of me every time he saw synchronicities, that was just a confirmation for me. That was like, well, I guess we're on the same wavelength, because same. But again, he blocked me recently, and I decided to move across the country, and yet I still constantly think about him. I actually had a dream about him like 2 nights ago. The difference between 2018 me and now is the amount of healing and growth I went through because of that. The amount of self-love I gained, and knowing that even though I still think about him or have dreams or will probably always have love for him, that I'm okay without him, that I am whole and complete without him. And that's a huge lesson that I learned from this connection, and that I had to learn because of all my prior wounds of self-worth and codependency. And this is why I say to be careful with what you hear on TikTok or Twitter or whatever, or anything online, and make your own judgment. Because if you're on TikTok and you get tarot readings, they always talk about they'll come back when they're healed, or they're coming back with communication, or they come back when you heal. But even then, that puts an expectation and a dependency on this person, which limits you and holds you back. And I had to do a lot of releasing and accepting that if it's meant to be, it will be, and basically surrendering to the universe and be like, it's up to you. Like, if you want us to be together, we will, but if not, oh well. Because each person, each twin, I guess you could say, has to do their fair share of healing, their fair share of work. And yes, I've done many, many readings with many different tarot readers and stuff like that. And they're like, well, this will work only if he does the healing as well. And obviously, healing is not linear, and I still have my setbacks some days. But I'm going to continue to live my life, and I wish him the best. But I don't want you guys to think you're in a twin flame connection if it's super toxic or abusive. Another thing people ask me is, how do you know? And it's kind of just like, I just know. There's no better way to explain it. If you know, you know. And I've been called crazy. I've been called everything in the book about this connection, because everyone in my close circle, my family and my friends, knows about him and knows about this connection. And they're just like, girl, it's been 4 years. Like, let it go. And most people are tired of me hearing about it. Most people will tell me that the twin flame thing is stupid and that it's just a way for me to cope. And if it is, then so be it. Like, it has helped me immensely to heal and know that this was actually for a bigger purpose than just sending me through the pits of hell, you know? So I take it as a blessing in disguise, because it has taken me to different places in my life. And honestly, at the time, I was in a very toxic work environment. So like I said, I had missed so many weeks of work because of that situation, because I was just so depressed. And I ended up leaving my job because I missed so much. And I don't think it would have happened if I didn't spiral and didn't miss work. So a blessing came out of that. And then he also just motivated me. Like, the pain motivated me to become better and to help myself heal, to not treat other people in such a way. And also, it motivated me to leave Vegas, because, like I said, I couldn't heal in the same environment that I was damaged in. And it just sucked being in that. Although people say Vegas is big, it's not. It's really not. It's, like, so small, and everyone knows everyone. So it just was very toxic for me to keep being in that cycle of not being able to heal, because I see his car everywhere, or I see little things that remind me of him, or I see places we went to, or people we used to be friends with and stuff. So, I mean, he's not the main reason why I moved, but it was a catalyst to me moving. So a lot of things in my life have changed for the better, and now I can say that they were blessings. But back then, I'm like, fuck, like, I just lost my job, or like, fuck, I'm in so much pain, like, what do I do now? And like, but now I see things so differently, because they're blessings in disguise. And I just know that it had to happen for a reason, and it has helped me heal. So if people want to say, no, you're not on a twin flame journey, you're just crazy, and you're just spiritually bypassing. Let's backtrack. So spiritual bypassing is when you don't put in the work, but you use spiritual aspects or spiritual terms to justify a situation in your life. So basically, like, saying I'm breaking down and crying because Mercury's in retrograde is spiritually bypassing. Obviously, I did say that last week, but I did do the work. Things that came up, I journaled about it, I released, I purged. So when you spiritually bypass and you say stuff like, oh, my soul came down here to be a mean person, or, oh, this is my soul's path for X and Y reason, but you don't do anything about it and you don't incorporate the actual work, then that is spiritual bypassing. And there is a lot of that toxicity that goes around in this community, so just be aware of that. But I don't think I am spiritually bypassing, because of the amount of work that I've put into my own healing and the awareness that I apply to my healing. And I mean, I guess that's all I'm going to say about that. But anyways, I want to read off some major signs that might help you determine if you're on this journey or not. I try to explain my story to maybe in hopes that you have gone through something similar or can relate, because when I heard other people's stories like this, especially the like the short period amount of time and like the synchronicities and the things that were happening around us and everything, I was like, holy shit, I'm not alone. So let me just share the signs now. Number one, the sensation that time doesn't exist between you. So like I said, the amount of time that we were together didn't feel like that. It felt like we were together for so much longer or have known each other for so much longer than that. And the time when we were together just passed by. Like it, time did not exist because we literally stepped out of time. a strange sense of recognition or deja vu between you as though you've both were destined to be together. He always told me that. He was like, it was destined for us to meet. It feels like we've always known each other. Yada yada. Having the same thoughts or finishing each other's sentences, there was definitely a lot of telepathy, and we definitely did that a lot of thinking the same things or finishing each other's words. There was intense magnetic attraction to each other. Your strengths and weaknesses perfectly balance each other. You share the same values, desires, and dreams. Your twin knows you better than anyone else in the world. No matter how many times you fight, you always forgive each other completely. You have a multifaceted connection together. So you're best friends, teacher, lovers, etc. And that was definitely one of the reasons why it hurt really bad, because the summer of 2018 was when we were together and he became my best friend. Like everyone else had left to go back home because all my friends were from out of state that went to our university, and so they went back home for the summer, but he was one of the few people that stayed to work, and I also just ended up living in Vegas at that time because my parents had moved to Vegas, so I couldn't really go back home because I didn't have a home back in San Diego anymore. So we just spent the whole summer together, and we became best friends, and it hurt because not only did I lose him as a lover or a potential connection or whatever, I lost a best friend, you know? Uncanny synchronicities exist between you. Yes. And I wish I still had screenshots. I deleted everything, obviously, when I did a lot of releasing, but I would screenshot every time he would send me like 1111 or 444, or like when I would send it and he'd be like, oh my God, that's confirmation for us. And I don't know, there were so many conversations that we had about the synchronicities that we saw, or like not even with numbers, but with like things that would happen or songs. A twin flame connection is awakening, a wake-up call that creates a great upheaval to make you question everything about your life. Yes. So like I said, after him, I spiraled and I was like, what the fuck is life? What am I doing with my life? What is the purpose? I was so lost. So yeah, that was the first big awakening that I had up until, you know, the government one. But I digress. You're both driven towards a higher spiritual and social purpose. Very true. You learn the values of empathy, compassion, forgiveness, and unconditional love together. You feel a strange, inexplicable sense of recognition when you meet the person. You have a feeling that they are going to play a very important role in your own development without knowing when or why or how. So I remember this one time I was laying next to him and telling him, this is going to hurt so bad. And he was like, what do you mean? And I was like, it's going to be rough when you leave. And honestly, looking back, I don't know why I said that. It's not like I was being negative, but I just sort of knew that he was going to impact me in such a way to help me grow. Like, I don't know, there was a lot of knowing. And that's another sign that your psychic gifts really kick in. And I don't know if it's clairsentient or... I think it is clairsentient or claircognizant. I don't know. It's the one where you just know. So I have a lot of knowings, I guess. I just know when things are going to happen. And I just sort of knew that he was going to just leave. And I foresaw it. I actually foresaw it in a dream when he left. Because he left me for a girl in a dream I had 2 weeks prior when he actually left. And I had told him about it and he just laughed. And I mean, well, it happened. So... You've established an immediate, intense connection with them that is invigorating and shocking at the same time. I will never forget when he told me, you make me feel things that my relationship of 4 years never did. Like, for real, like, time is not real, and this just, like, confirmed a lot from, like, I will never forget that, ever. And I think that was a line that I kept repeating in my head. I was like, how can he have said that and just leave me? But I mean, that's... way past us. We're healed. We're good. You feel as though you finally found a home or safe place with the other person. Like I said, when I saw him again last year, I told my mom this when I came home right after being with him, but I was like, it felt like I came back home. Like I felt like coming home, and there's no better way to describe that. You were able to be your authentic self, warts and all, without the fear of rejection, persecution, or judgment with them. Yeah, he definitely saw the real authentic me. I think that was another reason it has been so hard. I let my full guard down with him and without any fear, and he never judged me, and he allowed me to be myself, and I allowed him to be himself, and it just, yeah, the authenticity was there. You both embody the yin and yang. In other words, your dark side is balanced by their light side, and their dark side is balanced by your light side. You feel a sense of expansion with them, as though you are larger than your limited identity. They make you a better person, and you make them a better person. I mean, I feel like everyone in a connection always tells the other person, you make me a better person. And I feel like that's a main reason why people are in a romantic connection, or what they look for in a romantic connection is to grow, you know? Well, I mean, that's what I look for in a relationship, is to find someone who will make me a better me, you know? I mean, that's not what I depend on, but in this case, that definitely was the situation. There was this one time where he told me he just got off the phone with his mom, and he was like, I was telling her how you're making me become a better person, because I was at the time starting my I started working out intensely and focusing on my health in 2017, but so obviously I was going to the gym every day, I was meal prepping, all that, and I guess he got inspired by that, and he started going to the gym as well, so I guess I inspired him with that. And he also inspired me to become a better person in my work, because he was a very hard worker, and I was very, you know, I don't like working, so he made me motivated to actually go to work, and actually even when it was a toxic environment, he had my back through it all and just made me become a better person overall in the work area and a lot of other things. But yeah, that's one of the reasons. When together, you were both bonded but free, attached but unattached. In other words, you still maintain your freedom even though you might be in a relationship with them. You are finely tuned to their energy and they are finely tuned to yours. This means that you are both very conscious of the present play of energy. So you feel when they're happy, sad, or angry. There were times like 2 years ago or a year ago where I would just break down out of nowhere or be sad or feel anxious or scared, and sometimes I feel like that's his energy and not mine, and that sounds so crazy, I know. And the only person who really understands is my mom, because she's like, just reject the energy, send it back to him. Because I last year there was a point where I just started crying, and I was like, okay, who? And I usually do feel my friends, because I'm very empathic, so I usually feel my friends' energies or anyone who is close in my circle of people I interact with every day. I usually feel their energy, so I texted everyone. I was like, hey, are you okay? Are you good? And everyone was like, oh, yeah, you're fine. And then I even texted my brother. I was like, are you okay? Because I'm just like, I feel someone's energy. It's not mine, so I'm pretty sure it was his. You feel as though you have been waiting for this person your entire life. I mean, like I said, I saw 444 my whole life. That was my favorite number. I always felt like I had like a Prince Charming out there. I saw him in a dream in high school. Like, I just been waiting for him to show up. You both connect deeply and mirror each other's values and aspirations beyond surface similarities. Your twin flame is a mirror of what you fear and simultaneously desire the most of your own inner healing. For example, if you are a highly strong person, your twin flame is most likely relaxed and messy. If you like to play the victim, your twin flame is a strong character who refuses to give you any pity or sympathy. If you are creatively repressed, your twin flame will be a flourishing artist. In this way, our twin flames challenge and infuriate us, but also teach us important lessons about our fears, core wounds, and repressions. Your childhoods were polar opposites. You were raised in very different ways, which led to development of opposite childhood wounds that you now have the opportunity to mend. One of you is soulfully mature than the other, and often serve as a teacher or counselor within the relationship. You are taught important life lessons such as forgiveness, gratitude, empathy, open-mindedness by them and with them. I had, like I said, I think two episodes ago, forgiveness was so important. And I have written him so many forgiveness letters. And of course, when he apologized last year, I forgave him. But that was such a huge lesson for me to understand, because I was so angry, you know? And I mean, throughout the healing and learning more about spirituality and how everything's a reflection of me and just how I manifest in these situations, or I chose to go through these situations, I just think that he taught me that lesson of forgiveness and also helped me with some childhood wounds. The most growth you've ever experienced has been with them. No other friendship or relationship has transformed you as deeply as this one. That's a major key factor that threw me down the twin flame journey as well, because like I said, he was a huge catalyst for a lot of things in my life. As mentioned before, all the things that I've said. Your twin flame doesn't try to change you. They accept you for who you are and what stage you're at, and encourage you to do the same for yourself and vice versa. That's very true. I don't think either of us ever try to change the other. All we did was inspire each other and help each other out. You can be truthful with each other about anything. Together, you both feel driven towards a higher purpose. I've never been that authentic with someone that I was in a connection with, and I was very honest all the time. And yeah, so I guess those are all the signs, I guess major signs, if you're in a twin flame journey. And like I said, it hasn't been all sunshine and butterflies, and it definitely was a very painful process, especially in the beginning. And sometimes when the energy is whack, and I'm not blaming the energy, I'm not spiritually bypassing, but like I said, with the full moon, stuff came up again, and I had to purge it out. I had to clear that energy out. And if you are in a twin flame journey and you want to talk more about it with me, you can go ahead and just reach out to me on my website, and I'll tell you my other little tips and tricks that I've done. But yeah, I guess that was it in regards to the twin flame journey that I think I'm on. And I mean, I know I'm on, in my perspective. I don't know if you guys have learned anything else about the twin flame journey. There's some people out there that don't even believe in this who are in the spiritual community. Just like I said, there's been a lot of misconception and there's been a lot of misinformation and a lot of things that are spread that could be problematic, or if not, I guess told the right way to very impressionable people, can be taken the wrong way, you know? So that's why I say do your own research and know that this journey or this situation happens for a reason, and obviously has a lot to do with a lot of lessons and a lot of healing that we both have to encounter. And I don't know what's gonna happen, and this doesn't mean that I'm absolutely in love with him right now and I just constantly miss him, and like, even though, like, I know that I'm on this journey, doesn't mean that I'm not open to meeting new people. Like I said, I have met other people after him. I have been in other situationships after him, and it's not stopping me from meeting other people. I think the only thing that is challenging me, or a lesson that I still have to learn, is setting stronger boundaries. That's a big lesson for me. I think that I still have to work on that. Setting boundaries has always been a huge one for me, because I was a people pleaser and I'm still working through that. I just don't want you guys to be misguided. So if this resonated with you, like I said, shoot me a message. If you have any other questions, some of you already have, and I have emailed you back, but I hope this made sense, and I hope this resonated with some of you, or helped some of you understand what you're going through. And like I say all the time, you're not crazy, okay? You're not crazy. What you feel is valid, and other people will tell you other things that they perceive. Like, my friends and my family tell me I'm crazy all the time about this connection specifically. So I mean, let them say whatever they want to say, but at the end of the day, they're not perceiving life through your lenses, and they're not feeling what you're feeling. So feel what you need to feel, and it's very valid, and you came here to experience that for a reason. Don't forget that. And you're a powerful being that doesn't need anyone, and you're the main character. So always remember that. And I love you guys so much. Thank you guys for sticking around. This was a very, very vulnerable episode. I haven't said this much in the public ever. Kind of hope he doesn't listen to this, but oh well if he does. Anyways, don't forget to follow me on my social medias at Align Your Divine on Twitter and at FSO Podcast. And if you want to submit anything, like I said, the link will be in the show notes, but it's theluminescentluna.com/FSO Podcast. And if you're listening to this on Apple Podcast, please leave me a review just so other people can find me as well. And hopefully my journey can help them figure shit out too. You never know. But anyway, thank you guys again. I love you all so much, and I hope you have a beautiful, beautiful week. And don't let the indoor cats get to you. Remember that you're a strong, independent, outdoor cat. All right, guys. Bye.
Love is not something that is a sort of rare commodity. Everybody has it. Existence is love.